Today morning we are reading from Canto 3, Chapter 17, entitled The Victory of Hiranyaksha. Text number 5. Vavo vayo sudushprashaha. Bhutkaran irayan muhu. Unmulayan nagapatin. Vatya Niko Rajatvaja. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. There blew winds which were most uninviting to the touch, hissing again and again and uprooting gigantic trees. They had storms for their armies and clouds of dust for their ensigns. Purport. When there are natural disturbances like blowing cyclones, too much heat or snowfall, and uprooting of trees by hurricanes, it is to be understood that the demonic population is increasing and so the natural disturbance is also taking place. There are many countries on the globe, even at the present moment, where all these disturbances are current. This is true all over the world. There is insufficient sunshine and there are always clouds in the sky, snowfall and severe cold. This assures that such places are inhabited by demonic people who are accustomed to all kinds of forbidden, sinful activity. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakya Sakshurin Militamena Tasmai Sri Guruvena Mano Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitamena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swabhadantikam Mandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamlam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagarjatam Sarvana Raghunatam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sagitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Gunam Amrita Sri Visakan Vitamsa E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Sabhanu Sudha Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavane Bhya Vaishnaveva Namana Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I'd like to get blessings of senior devotees. So I'd like to try to speak something from Srimad Bhagavatam for my own purification. So, this is an interesting section of Srimad Bhagavatam. We can see the fight which was earlier explained in 13th chapter between Hiranyaksha and Varaha was a very small description. Now, Maitreya is coming back to this section after, last two chapters we can see there's a conversation between Kashyapa and Diti and then Brahma with demigods. So basically they're having a natural disturbance and calamities. It's like sounds like this purport sounds like the weather of Melbourne for me actually. So actually this purport, the beauty of Srila Prabhupada purport is the acharyas, they actually write something which we can practically how we can see in this world, like they convey their message in such a way that is easy for us to experience and practically apply. So this section, you can see there is a lot of natural disturbance and calamities because the Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, there we know from the previous chapter, they by the arrangement of the Lord, they have been put in the womb of Diti. So it's interesting, one thing, that both the demigods and demon come from the same source. That means they have the same father. Kashyapa is the father of both demons and, demigods. But the difference is, one is obeying the Vedic injunction. That means the demigods are obeying the Vedic injunction, where the other demons are not so. So they both are in the womb of Diti, and they are in the womb for 100 years. So they are very powerful actually. And in this Hiranyaksha, is the younger one, even though they are twins, because Hiranyakashipu came later. So, but because he came later, that means he is conceived first. So, in that way, he is the elder son, and Hiranyaksha is the younger. So, the demonic, in Prabhupada writes, there is a chapter in Bhagavad Gita, demonic qualities, in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So in that chapter, actually Prabhupada gives detailed, you know, not only like Krishna gives detailed explanation of who is a demon, what is his qualities. So in that purport, in fourth text, Prabhupada writes that these demon qualities are taken on by them from the beginning of their bodies in the womb of their mother. So it's not that, you know, it's when they're present, in, when they're placed in the womb, that itself their qualities have been, to a certain extent, is determined. And they grow as they manifest all these inauspicious qualities. So Prabhupada writing, you know, the demon in birth, the qualities is attracted to that particular soul in the womb. So that is where we can see they're creating havoc even before coming out. They are creating so much of disturbance. Once they come out, Hiranyaksha was so proud, you know, he was going and, you know, asking all the demigods for a fight. He's inviting. In this chapter, we can see later part, he went to Varuna. Varuna and saying, you know, come fight. And Varuna say, you know, like actually, your pride will be curbed by Vishnu. Vishnu himself will come and, you know, curb your pride. So, there was one story. Was a king in a village, and this king wants to know what is the work of God. What is his work of God? Everyday work. What is his work? So he asked his the priest, who is a guru. He asked him, "You have to come up with an answer for this question. What is the work of God? And if you don't come up with the answer, I will kill you." So then the guru went to his place, very sad, and there was a servant who is a disciple of the guru, who is a menial servant, was sitting outside, and he asking his guru, "Why you are so sad? What happened?" So guru explained, like, you know, the king asked me this question, if I don't give a proper answer, then I will be killed. So the servant said, let me go instead of you, and I will give the answer. Then the guru said, okay. So then the servant went to the kingdom, and he went to the court where all the ministers are there, where the king is there. And then the servant said, okay, if you want, I can give you the answer. That's not a problem. But you have to come down, and I have to sit in your place. This king was like furious. He said, because in Vedic tradition, a student is inquiring question always has to be in a lower platform, and the person who is answering has to be in a higher platform. So in that way, I should be sitting on your crown, on your seat, and you have to come down. So the king, okay, you know, some or other, because then while passing, he said, if you don't give a proper answer, I will kill you like anything, you know. So the king went down, and then the servant went up and sat in the seat. And then he asked, okay, tell me the answer. Then he said, this is what God will do. What do you mean by this is what God will do? You know, God actually does, those who are pride, he will make them down. And those who are humble, he'll make him up. So this is the work of God. So now you can practically see. You are so proud. You are you know, thinking you are the, you can throw anyone out of your kingdom. Even God doesn't do from his kingdom. What do you speak, you know, you are thinking you are great. So this is what God does. So then the king become humble. He understand his fault. So we can see time and again in Bhagavatam, there are stories where Krishna not only take care of the pride of demons, but also he consider the pride of demigod. This purport, after this reading purport, I get immediately reminded of Govardhan Leela. So here, the Indra was so proud. Indra, you know, he couldn't able to tolerate that one village in one whole Mathura did not give offering to him. So in Bhagavad Gita, we can read, a person who is honored, a dishonor is worse than death. So in that way, he couldn't able to tolerate that this small offering from Vrindavan didn't came. So he was so furious when the messenger came and told him. He was practically hissing like a serpent. He was like, you know, he said, now you go and destroy everyone. Destroy Nanda Maharaj, destroy everyone in Vrindavan. Doesn't matter. So you go there and do whatever devastation. So he called the Samvartaka clouds, he called his assistant. So they were like, they're going and they're getting water, and there's a pillar of, like, you know, the pillars and columns of water. It's not like a, you know, drop. And he was, this thunderbolt, he was striking Govardhan, Giriraj. So he was practically, you know, couldn't able to take it. And even a small, you know, leaf from a tree or even a small grass didn't budge from Govardhan. So, but he was continuously 7 days, 7 nights. It's imagine. And not only that, it is said that even the rain which is falling, it is not that, you know, okay, water is coming and it is the level of water is increasing or something. No. Continuously, the Sudarshan was protecting the Govardhan. It is making dry, you know. So the water was not even stagnating under the Govardhan. It was like complete insult to Indra. You know, imagine he is working so hard and he not even able to. So we can see this pride, how is affecting not only demons but also demigods. You know, and the qualities yesterday we heard from Prabhu. The main thing is the demons. One of the qualities, main is, they act on whims. So, acting on whimsical means, even though we know right, what is good, but we try to choose bad, because of the influence of lust, or greed, or anger. In the same chapter, Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada writes, there is three gates which is leading to hell, which is lust, anger and greed. So, lust, when the person is not satisfied with the lust, then anger and greed develops. So these are main. And not only, they only think about two things. That's the two key things in their life. That is enjoyment, basically sexual enjoyment, and increase in material wealth. So by the name of Hiranyakashipu, we can understand. So Hiranya means gold, which is nothing but money, which is greed. And Kashipu means soft bed, which is for the enjoyment. Which is the topmost of material so-called enjoyment is sex enjoyment. So the two things are the key thing for demons, and they always work for that. And they don't believe in any kind of faith or soul or God. They, you know, mentality is to destruct this world, some or other, because they want to enjoy, and they're trying to invent so many of, you know, newer and newer material invention for a different variety of enjoyment, basically sense gratification, and that leads to cruel violence, war, so many things, because that is the key. The sense enjoyment is the material bondage, because that will actually keep one in this material world, and they strive to achieve that. It's like running behind the mirage. Even though it's not there substantially, even if it is there, it is like a very, very meager. But the hope and the, you know, promise and the marketing or presentation is so much that it drives nuts, actually. Because even though we have so much of material invention and things, but the amount of pleasure is very less, and it's temporary. And it's like a drop in the desert. like a small, if you are a person is really thirsty and is in the desert and there is a small drop of water, and is not only, you know, going to quench the thirst, but it's going to aggravate the thirst more. So it's like that. So then they talk about, you know, and Prabhupada writes in the same chapter, the propaganda is about women's freedom. They basically want to exploit. And one of the is because they are covered and deluded by ignorance, they cannot accept there is a hand of God or there is a supreme control. They think by their personal ability they've got the so-called, you know, whatever education or family or, you know, status or, you know, whatever they have, that is by just by their personal ability. Just by ability, my personal endeavor, I have done, I have achieved. Because they forgot to see the hands of the supreme controller, supreme, you know, person who had made this arrangement, who has placed a particular jiva, a living entity, in a particular family, in a particular status. By giving that opportunity, they forget whatever is there, you know, because my. So, for example, you know, and they're trying, and they want to achieve certain kind of means by not going through a proper method. They don't want to follow the rules and regulation of Vedas and scriptures. So, in Prabhupada gives the example of Ravana. So, Ravana wants to build a staircase to heavenly planets. He wants to prepare a staircase without doing a proper yajna or following the methods in Vedas. So there are methods, you know, given in Vedas, which usually deals about fruitive, like do this sacrifice, do this yajna, and you will attain certain destination. Activities has to be done, you know, third chapter Bhagavad Gita, activities has to be done in terms of offering to Vishnu, sacrifice has to be done. Otherwise, it is it will create a bondage. And in fact, it is said you are like a thief, because all this water, you know, sun, rain, so many natural ingredients, natural, you know, things were given. It's not that you know, we just accept and we don't do anything. So that is like a great amount of ingratitude. So this yajna, you know, Prabhupada writes in that third chapter, this yajna has to perform, you know, in 8th chapter, Arjuna asks this question, what is this material manifestation, what is this sacrifice, different question, what is Brahman, what will happen at the time of death. So this first verses he asks 6-7 question. In that, you know, yajna is basically, you know, towards two personality, that is Vishnu and Indra. You can see. Even the demigods, even one, suppose for example someone is doing a particular sacrifice in giving that result to a particular demigod, they are also dependent with Vishnu. Both the humans and demigods were dependent of Vishnu. They are not independent. For example, if someone has to do a particular yajna, also has to get sanction, and that particular demigod wants to give a particular result, a fruitative result or, you know, gain or material profit, whatever, he also has to get the, you know, power from Vishnu. So they are acting like a middle, because they cannot give everything. They cannot give liberation. They cannot give the destination what we want, supreme destination. And this is the beauty of Krishna, and this is the beauty of, you know, Vishnu. There is a chapter in Bhavatam, 7th canto, 1st chapter, I think, the supreme is equal to everyone. So the thing is, even, you know, Arjuna killing the all these you know armies, all these Kauravas, they are getting the same result. They are getting the liberation. But for devotees, it is vimukti, it is a special liberation because the destination is different. For the devotee who is getting liberation, but the devotee doesn't want to, you know, liberation. For him, the service to, the devotional service is more because, you know, in Bilwa Manga Thakur, I think, for a devotee, the liberation is standing in the doorstep, folding his hand and waiting. And even Brahma is saying, you know, Tattenu Kampam, that verse, that, you know, any reversals or any bad is happening for a devotee, he is tolerating and thinking that it is coming from his past reaction. And he is tolerating. By doing that, he is able, he is a rightful claim of liberation. He is like a hire. He is like a, you know, father's property, how the son is now getting hired. You know, it's like that. He is able to get that liberation, you know, because he is a rightful claim. Because he is tolerating. He's tolerating and thinking that this is because of my responsibility I am suffering. And Krishna is so kind that he's giving only a token of it. This is devotee. So the liberation, you know, even the demons, you know, one may think, oh, it's very cruel to demon. In a Vrindavan pastime, we can see, great example is Putana. Putana is coming to kill Krishna. When Putana entering into Vrindavan, they were like amazed because they think it's a goddess of fortune, some kind of heavenly, you know, being is coming to bless Krishna. Because the Vrindavan Brajabas is always thinking what is good for Krishna, what is best for Krishna. So they don't stopping, they're not stopping. She's coming, you know, she's because of mystic witch, she can transform her into a beautiful apsara kind of body with a lotus flower in her hand, and she's coming. And she is going all the way to the bedroom. Can you imagine a new stranger is being allowed to all the way to the bedroom of Nanda Maharaj where Krishna is there? Because they are thinking by the blessing of this personality, Krishna will be living long. He will be happy. So let us allow. So they were always putting this consciousness in front that Krishna has to be pleased. Krishna has to be getting happiness. They are not mindful of what is happening for them. So this Putana is coming. And she is you know, the intention, she has applied poison in her breast and she wants to feed Krishna. But Krishna is so merciful that he saw a slight inclination of motherly affection. And also he has, you know, drank milk from her. So that actually, you know, he sees that good quality from Putana and gives the high, topmost, you know, as a nurse in the spiritual world. So this is Krishna. Even the demons getting that kind of liberation is amazing. And one statement Prabhupada gives in that chapter, that is, even the renunciates or demons, if they try not to follow the rules and creating their own path. So we think that demon means, you know, as Prabhupada was saying, we go with the external, that having a horn or a tail. Prabhupada writes, even the renunciates, the so-called renunciate, are also demons if they are trying to create their own path and for not following the rules and regulation which is given in the scriptures and acharyas. Because their mentality is to exploit. Their mentality is to enjoy. And in good example is the Bhagavad Gita itself. Because there are so many versions of Bhagavad Gita. In the book distribution, we present this Bhagavad Gita, like in purple, coming from Indian subcontinent, 99% their answer is, I have the copy of Bhagavad Gita. So there they say, you know, I ask them, do you have the same copy of Bhagavad Gita? But their reply is, they want to defend, basically. So they say, it's all same. What is the big difference? I have already, you give it to someone who don't have. Why are you disturbing me? Well, I tell, you know, see, then that is, you know, the wonderful thing in Bhagavad Gita is, Prabhupada stresses more about the disciplic succession, the parampara. And it's there in before the introduction itself. I show them, you know, see this. This book, you know, 10 million copies. All the universities have appreciated. It's not just, you know, there are Bhagavad Gita, you know, from a pocket size to, you know, encyclopedia size. There are Bhagavad Gitas where there is no name of Krishna. There are Bhagavad Gita just, you know. So Prabhupada himself write in the preface that the Bhagavad Gita, they use it as a tool to express their opinion into the public. Because Bhagavad Gita is famous and they want to convey to the society something, and they use Bhagavad Gita as a tool to express this. So that's the way, you know, Prabhupada gives the name Bhagavad Gita as it is. Because Prabhupada presenting as the same message, and he's a born Vaishnava, you know, like we have to see, we for normal, you know, in university if you go, they are giving a prescribed textbook, they are giving a prescribed reference book. You can ask them, why this book? There are another 100 books, the same topic is there in the library. Even university follow a prescribed, you know, way, because they know, because that person has done 25, 30 years of research in that field, that person have, you know, given so much of seminar, is a well-known, renowned scholar. They see, okay, which publication is coming from, what is the author, what is the background, have he lived Bhagavad Gita in his life? This is personal Bhagavad. A personal Bhagavat is the one who live in a book Bhagavat. He has shown everyone by his own example. That is why his name is Acharya. Acharya is one who is living by his own example. So when Bhagavad Gita, we tell them, you know, this, you know, see this person, he is a saint, he is from Vrindavan. He is, all he knows is Krishna. And there is no wrong to get a original, authentic version of Bhagavad Gita. Say, suppose a whole your life you're having a Gita and you find out that is a duplicate version. Can you believe how much, you know, stress, you know, it's like you've been cheated. So now, then they understood, oh yeah, okay, I understand. So get your original, you know, best authentic version. Don't, you know, just get, it's always good to have the, you know, I'll tell them, you know, it's always to have the original, correct version of Gita with you. Rather, you know, having some. So we have to see the renunciants, if they are also demon, if they are not following the path. And so by doing devotional service, so Prabhupada said, by doing this devotional service, liberation is guaranteed for a devotee. We have this four system, varnas, you know, one ashram, four orders of ashram and four working classes. So these are, you know, for the gradual raising to, you know, a spiritual platform. And in that Prabhupada write in the purport, in human society, aversion to the principle of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all fall downs. That is the greatest offense of human life. So, that, because we have to understand the whole purpose of, you know, jivas coming, they don't want to, they have this, you know, like, they have envied the position of Krishna and come here. And we are presenting the principle of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Immediately they say no. Because they have rejected that and come here. Still they have that, you know, traces. Sometimes in, you know, show the book of Krishna book, they envy because Krishna is with a girl. Because because we have to understand, the demonic means it's passion and ignorance. If a person is in very passion and ignorance, that's how, you know, we can see there, that's a driving force to get more greed, easily get anger, because the person in passion, we can see from Srimad Bhagavatam that Brahma was delineated to place the living entities in different material bodies, and he is the engineer. So when the four Kumaras were born, Brahma was wanted to progenate, wanted to increase the population of this world, and he requested four Kumaras. So let you, you know, go progenate. But four Kumaras are already Brahman realized, and they are, you know, celibate, and they are not inclined to, you know, enter into household. So they, you know, they didn't accept. But even though Brahma knew that is for a higher principle, they're giving up lower. So he couldn't able to say bad to them. And also Prabhupada write that Narayana Parayana. That means, you know, they are totally dedicated to Narayan. They can do this because how can you reject the orders of a spiritual master and also is a father? Both are same. How can you? It's an offense, right? Rejecting the orders of the spiritual master. Because most of the time the father is also considered a spiritual master. He is always look up into father. He is the upholder of dharma. So he is instructing, but they are not following. Because that is possible because you are, you know, following, you are dedicating the life to Narayan. So because you are pleasing Krishna, you please everyone. You please your forefathers, you please your father, mother, all the leadership post is being pleased. Because they are also coming as a part and parcel of Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when we give the example of, you know, stomach. When the stomach is fed, it is nourished, the energy is spread all over the parts of the body. We don't have to basically please each and every limbs and arms and organs of a body. When you have a opportunity to feed the stomach and please the whole body. So similarly, but because he was controlling that anger within, he is passionate, he has to be passionate to creation. If something has to be created, one has to be passionate. And he was controlling that anger, and that anger manifested between the eyebrows, and Rudra came. Rudra came, and when Rudra came out of the anger, he started to devour everything and distract everything. He just like, you know, like a mad elephant, he was like destroying. He was saying, no, no, don't do that. He said, then Brahma said, you go, I will call when there is a need, then you go meditate. This is not the type of progeny what Brahma wants. Shiva was coming, it was a loud cry. And this Lavan Chudra, immediately Shiva is asking, what is my name? Where is my place? Tell me, like, where I am situated. Then Brahma gives, you know, your names are this and this. You are the place, like heart, you know, crematorium, this place. You are the wife, you have Lavan, Ambika, Parvati, all the names and come. These are the place, these are the location. You go there, you wait, I'll call you when needed. So we can see this anger and distraction, passion and ignorance. But this and these threefold miseries, you know, and the three modes of material nature, both will not leave anyone. It will constantly act on everyone. The threefold miseries and the three modes of material nature. Whereas unless until one is approaching a bona fide spiritual master for his guidance and elevation. Because we have to understand, and see, for example, to get into the spiritual realm, if we are in material realm, it is very difficult to understand. Unless until a person who has crossed this material realm, that is the spiritual master. Because they are above these three modes of material nature, they can see clearly the jivas and living entities in the modes of material nature, and they can lift them and enter into the spiritual realm. So that's their, you know, highlight, you can say. Because they are above these three modes of material nature, they can easily pick someone who is in three modes of material nature and can get them into spiritual realm. So by just approaching them, we can easily come out of, we can see the famous example is Narada Muni. Narada Muni, you know, he is so merciful in throughout the Bhagavatam. He has saved people from, you know, gliding down. The main thing is, okay, the demons, even though they do abominable work, but the nature of this world is they give some kind of honor. Even they do something like, you know, as we were earlier speaking, they want to do enjoyment and, you know, like material wealth. So they find so much of invention, which is ultimate, like, you know, destruction in nature. And some kind of problem arises because of some kind of invention. And these people, they honor and they give award, they give prize. So they think they are advancing. They think, okay, I'm doing good. I'm going good. Like, for example, Prabhupada gives the example of skyscrapers. Skyscraper is nothing but you know, a pile of mud or something, you know. And he said, this lot of people are putting energy, their time, and, you know, making so much of effort to build this big skyscrapers. At the end, he's, you know, I did it. Just for one person pleasure, like, you know, so many people working. And he's thinking, I'm advancing. And anyway, no one is going to come. It is only empty only. Most of the skyscrapers. So expensive. They're thinking I'm advancing, but actually they are gliding towards the hell. Yes, exactly. Workers, birds get hit. And someone get the flight in. Yeah, this is a skyscraper, so many building. They think they are advancing. Not only that, you know, whatever, anything, the gadgets, you know, this problem, that problem, radiation problem, that problem, so many, you know, so newer and newer disease, newer and newer problems, newer and newer, you know, difficulty. They think that we are really advancing because they are giving awards, honor, and, you know, what kind of award, honor for destruction of human civilization. So this Narada Muni in Srimad Bhagavatam, he is saving. He saved the you know, sons of Kubera. He saved the Migari hunter. He saved, you know, actually he saved Prahlad Maharaj. The demon, the Hiranyaksha went to the forest for the tapasya, and the demigods were planned to kill the, you know, the child in the womb of Kayadu. Because they think, you know, this Hiranyakashipu itself making so much of destruction, what will this son will come and do? Because of Narada Muni intervene, he was saved and become a pure devotee. And he saved, you know, Dhruva Maharaj, so many, you know, every canto you see practically somewhere or other, you know, Narada Muni is there as a spiritual master of so many people. You know, he saved the sons of Daksha, 10,000 people, and then 1,000. So, it is interesting, by this personality, by taking shelter of this bona fide spiritual master, we can able to curb this you know, demonic mentality arising from these modes of passion and ignorance, and able to come to goodness and cross this goodness and go into pure goodness. So, thank you very much. I would like to end. If any comments, correction. For questions. Would like to add something, Prabhu?
this?
Why does it cause earthquake when a demon is taking birth? Why do you think it is?
it can what I would think it could be wrong, please correct me. It's a burden to Mother Earth. You can see in previous yugas, and you can see from the pastime of Hiranyaksha, who able to push the earth from Bhumandala, the whole earth, into ocean. So that is the power of demon. Here we see I was working in a companies in Australia. So what they do is a mining company. So they practically go to a site and plunder all the minerals and natural resources from Mother Earth. So practically they'll drain everything and they dump, and then they go to other place. So that land and that place is totally, you can't do anything. You can't do anything. Like they do all the deforestation, they remove all the trees, and they will make a side kind of fence and everything. They will remove all the minerals from sand and underground and dig, and they will practically do everything. They will first send to the lab. They will say in the lab, they'll tell you exactly how much depth you can go, what are all there, how much is it worth, worth taking, this and that. 100 people work in that. And they'll calculate everything, and they'll do for 5 years or something, and after that they will dump. Dump means like, they put all the mud and everything, and they'll go to the other side. So even though they show that this many trees we did, and this is the forestation we are doing, this many, and they're okay, one time by accident, or I don't know, by they release like 160,000 liters of petrol like in air or some, say they get fined, they get 200,000. Oh, okay, 200,000 is, they just pay. They, for them, it's like a achievement kind of thing. But we could see by constantly exploiting earth, cows, and but then how do we expect that there will be rain? There will be pleasant weather, there will be, good climate, because they're not doing any yagya. But we are so fortunate, by the blessing of Mahaprabhu and Acharyas, we do Sankirtan yagya, that's a prescribed yagya. But because there is not much yagya happening, including Sankirtan yagya, then the demigods are not pleased, and by this, as we from this purport of Prabhupada, that when the demon is entering into the womb of a mother, already he is coming with a certain demonic qualities. So that, you see, already some havoc is happening, and this person, when he is entering, is like we see from the pastimes of Krishna, that in the pastime of Hiranyaksha and Varahadev, when the fight is going on, when the demigods are watching, when the demons took a higher position, like Kali or Krishna, like that, then they shout, "Alas, what's happening?" They get afraid. Is he going to win? And we can also show, we can, Prabhupada writes, this is an inauspicious sign. So this is a way we can take it is, we hear constantly this happening, that, you know, natural disaster is a kind of inauspicious sign showing that, you know, the demonic mentality is taking birth in our heart. Or demons are, because we have to understand, demons means in different yuga they have different position, like different planets and different island, different in same family. In Kali Yuga, demons is within us. So when a demon take birth within our heart, that itself, you know, will bring us some calamities. So not especially like, you know, baby, of course, whoever, you know, taking birth in Kali Yuga especially, is it open? Do you want to add something?
Oh, who is sensitive to who is appearing, so when the demon appears, then due to disgust, she shakes.
Kandraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.